The next interview considers whether potential success with low vision aids can be accurately predicted by assessing factors such as a patient's current level of vision and the strength of his or her spectacles. As discussed previously on Optometric Quarterly 79, there's a range of aids available to assist low vision patients in making the most of their remaining sight. But when assessing reading ability, practitioners often do so in a standardized way without the use of magnifiers. Consequently, the ideal way of determining the probable effectiveness of low vision aids for a patient prior to prescription remains, at best, unclear. For this reason, Dr. Gazaya Latham of Anglia Ruskin University has been finding out whether a patient's success with low vision aids can be predicted from standardized assessments of visual function.
Dr. Latham, how do you define low vision?
Well, I tend to take a fairly functional approach to defining low vision. Someone has low vision if, even with their best refractive correction, they can't see as well as they'd want to do the tasks that are important to them. So that not only includes people with very poor vision, who are or could be registered as visually impaired, but it also includes people with milder visual loss, and also people with pretty reasonable vision, but who have demanding requirements of their vision.
So what reading aids are available to those with low vision?
Well, magnifying aids can be broken down into four main types. The first way you have of making something bigger is to actually make it bigger, things like large print books or maybe photocopying a recipe on a Zoom setting. The second way you can enlarge things is with positive lenses, which allows objects to be held closer to the eye and subtend a larger angular size at the back of the eye. Now, these positive lenses can be prescribed in lots of forms that are very familiar, in glasses, on a stick as a hand magnifier, or as a stand magnifier. And we see these commonly prescribed both in primary care, especially high reading aids, and we also see those prescribed a lot by the hospital eye service. The other way of providing optical magnification is through telescopes, but spectacle-mounted near-vision telescopes tend to be seen more in the hospital eye service than in primary care. And the fourth way of making things bigger would be with electronic aids. And that might be consumer electronic devices like Kindles and iPads, or it might be devices that are specifically designed as LVAs. Now, those tend to be private purchases, so eye care practitioners won't necessarily be selling those directly, but they can be giving patients advice on the pros and cons and what to look for in devices such as those.
So are different types of magnification best suited for different types of low vision?
Well, what suits an individual in the way that magnification is provided is more about the patient's characteristics and the task that they want to do, rather than necessarily the magnification level that they need or the specific pathology. So things like the task duration, whether the patient needs to keep their hands free, how steady the person's hand is to hold a different aid, and if a certain working distance is required. It's those types of aspects that will determine what type of aid is most suitable.
So what should we consider in order to determine a patient's likely success with low vision aids?
Well, first of all, we need to define what we mean by success. So for reading, measuring success with a low vision aid could be defined either in terms of the print size or in terms of reading speed. Now, in terms of print size, the physical size of print that a patient can access is extremely important because it determines whether a task can actually be done or not. So, for example, reading a utility bill. It's worth recalling here the difference between looking at print size in physical terms and in angular terms. Physical print size is the actual font size, and that's going to be the same regardless of what distance the print's being held at. And that's very relevant to tasks, and that's what you'd see being given in Endpoint, for example. Angular font size is the size that the print subtends at the back of the eye, and that's going to be dependent on working distance. The closer the text is held, the greater the angular print size. And that's more of a clinical visual function measure, and you'd see that defined in logMAR terms. So print size is important, especially physical print size, but also the reading speed that someone can achieve with their magnifier is important as well. That's because it allows us to consider whether somebody's going to be able to read comfortably for any period of time. If reading speed is too low, it's going to be too much effort for someone to read for more than short periods. So when we're thinking about success with low vision aids for reading, both the print size and the reading speed achieved with the magnifier are going to be important outcome measures.
Why is it important to look at links between reading with magnifiers and standard visual functions?
For me, it's about both being able to streamline the low vision assessment so that we can make it as straightforward as possible for the patient by only testing what's really important. And it's also so that as a practitioner, I can be realistic with my patients from an early stage about their likelihood of being able to achieve the reading goals that they've got. What I've wanted to look at is what test is it most useful to do in a low vision assessment to predict the ability to read with a magnifier? And what do those different results mean for a patient?
What have you found out about the relationship between reading with and without magnifiers for low vision patients?
Well, this work was done with Dr. Darrell Tabrett as part of his PhD, which was funded by the College of Optometrists. And we examined a range of standard clinical tests of visual function to identify those tests that make the best predictions about both print size and reading speed that will be achieved with optical magnifiers. Now, looking at print size first of all, in terms of the physical print size that can be accessed once magnifiers are being prescribed, we looked at predicting which patients would and wouldn't be able to read print of a size of N8 with their magnifiers. And we chose that because it's a roundabout newsprint size. And we found that the best predictors of being able to read N8 print were angular reading acuity, which we measured without magnifiers at a fixed working distance of 40 centimetres with a 250 ad, and also contrast sensitivity. Now, those two fall into a two-step model, which I'll just explain in a little bit more detail. The first step is reading acuity. If acuity under standard conditions was better than 0.75 log mar, now that's about N22 at 40 centimetres, then a patient was very likely to be able to achieve N8 with a magnifier. If a patient's reading acuity was worse than 0.75 log mar, but their contrast sensitivity was okay, then they're also likely to be able to achieve N8 with a magnifier. Now, the cutoff with contrast sensitivity was having a CS of better than 1.05 log units on a Pelly-Robson chart. Now, that's a normal result or a noticeable loss, basically a threshold on the bottom four lines of a Pelly-Robson chart. However, if you have both poor acuity, worse than 0.75 log mar, and poor contrast sensitivity, worse than 1.05 log CS units, then we could predict that N8 was unlikely to be possible for the patient, even with optical magnifiers.
And what about the speed of reading?
Well, for reading speed, it was a little bit simpler. We looked at predicting whether a patient was likely to achieve a reading speed of 80 words per minute with their magnifiers. And we chose this value because it's a common level for defining fluent reading. Any slower a reading speed than 80 words a minute, and patients are likely to find reading frustratingly slow for any given length of time. And what we found was that if the angular reading acuity at 40 centimetres with a 250 ad was 1.0 log mar or better, that's equivalent to about N40 at 40 centimetres, then patients were likely to be able to fluently read with their magnifiers at 80 words per minute or better.
So how well do these tests predict the patient's ability to read with a magnifier?
Well, these models, which have just used assessment of contrast sensitivity and acuity measured at a fixed working distance, correctly predicted the ability to read N8 print with a magnifier in 82% of our patients, and correctly predicted the ability to read fluently in 88% of our patients. So they're pretty reasonable.
So based on your findings, what can practitioners do to modify their routine to improve the outcome of a low vision assessment?
I would suggest that in a low vision assessment, a practitioner should make sure that they assess reading acuity at a fixed working distance, for example, at 40 centimetres with a 250 ad, and they should also measure contrast sensitivity. Those two tests can help you predict whether magnifiers are likely to allow patients to achieve their reading goals, whether they're based on print size or reading of a certain speed. And if a patient's likely to be able to achieve their goals based on those tests, then you can carry on with finding the most appropriate optical magnifiers for that patient's needs, either yourself or, if needs be, by referring on to a specialist practitioner. But if a patient's unlikely to be able to read the small print that they want to or to read fluently, then while we can still try optical LVAs, obviously, I would also consider exploring other options at an early stage. Now, that might include looking at electronic aids that would offer higher magnification or contrast enhancement, or it might be looking at sensory substitution methods like talking books. Now, if you're in primary care, that may well influence where you refer your patient, because these types of aids would be available perhaps from different locations, like a local low vision resource centre, rather than by referring to the hospital eye service.